Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Our paradigm shifter is going to affect your brain. Our paradigm shifter is Ron Bickner with his brilliant game called Newbricks, newbricksgames.com, used to be called Bit by Bit. So welcome to the show, Ron, and we're going to talk about what's so amazing about this wonderful game. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Greetings from San Diego. Mm-hmm. Having some sunshine today, and great to be on your show. Thank you, Veronica.
Oh, I'm really loving this game. Ron sent me some of the bricks in a bag, or the bricks in a bag, and I've had a blast learning to play it. And it's a very, very intuitive game. So I want to ask you, first of all, what made you create this game? What are we looking for with it? And how does it work? And how has it affected people? You're calling it kind of a brain game, aren't you?
Yes, because the root of it is there's several aspects. I was a builder for the last 30 years. I still dabble in building. Mm-hmm. But I was also an Army aviator. As a pilot, you need to scan your instruments. So you have to have awareness outside as well as inside to monitor what's going on. So you develop a scanning technique. And as you scan, you know where things are supposed to be, and it allows you to see anything that's off. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a brain changer in that respect. It makes you always be aware of what's going on. So as you learn a scanning technique, your brain starts to say, okay, this is what I'm seeing. This is what's normal. Oops, this is what's abnormal. So that's what this game is based on.
So that's a terrific amount of detail, right?
Yes. And the other aspect of it is it's very simplified, but it's very masterful. In other words, you can come in just trying to understand the basic five concepts. But once you have those five concepts, you take this game to whatever level you want. And that's levels of three-dimensional play, making the game just, instead of being flat on the table, you build it off the table. You build it thick. The thickness of the game can grow from one brick thick to five or six or more bricks thick. So it's the way you understand the concepts, and then you take the game in the direction you want. So let's say you and I, we are having a game night, mm-hmm. and I've been thinking about it all week, and I say, you know what, I'm going to try this game on Veronica and her friends tonight. I'll come in, and I'll say, look, we're going to use our concepts, the five concepts, but I want to build this structure tonight. And as I show you what it is, you go, okay. So then we just start, and we go in and we start to build my particular design build game.
So when you sent us, you send out a little series of structures that can be built, but you're saying we can move way beyond that, eh?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So what I've sent everyone is just eight games, but these games can even be manipulated from using 50 pieces in a one dimension to being used in several dimensions. So, in several ways. So it's complex, but very simple. And that's the thing about DNA, right? DNA is pretty simple, but it's super complex.
So before we go much farther, I want listeners to understand that these are little bricks, sort of like dominoes, that kind of thing looking, but they have
exactly
connections in them, in these interesting little symbols. They have ways of connecting, so you get to lay them out one on top of the other.
Correct.
Or side by side. I'm just giving people some visuals here.
Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful.
And what happened? How did you create all that? I mean, like, you're a pilot, you're a builder, but why did you get into this? What effect does it have on us all?
I'll tell you, I have four children. So during the course of raising my kids, we would play dominoes. We'd play different Mahjong, different things. And I kept saying, you know what? I don't like just playing flat stuff on the table. Let's build something because I'm a builder, right?
Right.
So I said, I'm going to figure out a way to make this to go from flat to building structures. And the kids are going, hey, that's cool, Dad. So, you know, you come up with your renditions, but through life, I had to support my family. You know, I had kids in college and things like that. So when I first started on this in the 2001, I didn't start to actually sit down and design specifics and get the model down until 2009, 2010.
Oh, good. So you were playing at it, you could say.
So I was dabbling in it. Yes, I was dabbling in it and whatnot. But as I started doing it, I realized something. Early on in my career, I had I'm one of eight children.
Oh.
My dad was an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, she was from a, you know, established family. And so my mom and dad met. They had four children right off the bat. I'm number five. So later on in life, as us children were growing up and getting our own families, I had a younger brother that was affected by a mosquito bite. And that mosquito bite gave him encephalitis of the brain.
Oh, my.
And at 15 years old, he was a scrapper. He was a fighter, but it took him over and went into a coma for 3 weeks. And when he came out of it, he had no ability to talk.
Aww.
And he couldn't communicate verbally. He could only he had lost his short-term memory.
Aww.
He was able to know that I was his brother and we were brothers and sisters and family. But he couldn't recognize the ability to communicate and to learn specifically. So this always played on my family and I. When we would go to visit, we didn't have a way to communicate with him. And when I say communicate, knowing that when I left there, did I help my brother improve? Or did I just socially interact with him, you see?
I
was always at a deficit, and I just felt I didn't have any power or any ability to help my brother. I laid it on all of the therapists and everybody else, but it just seemed like it was unfair to the family.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, I could play throw the football or go for walks, but what was I doing to improve his brain capacity, his cognitive abilities?
But you didn't have any psychological training or physiological training, did you?
No, my whole thing was just knowing what was right and wanting it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted my brother to be great. I wanted good things to happen in his life. Okay. Mm-hmm. So with that, it just had that gnawing thing about his condition as I would go through my life and raising my children, things like that. I'd think about my brother often, you know, and my mom for sure, because she was going through this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like a negative thing, but, and there was a lot of negative that was in those years, let me tell you. But you move past those and you think of, okay, what can I do to make it better?
Mm-hmm.
So as I was developing this game for my children, I started thinking on my brother. As soon as I got the idea of the thing going to three dimension,
mm-hmm.
and understanding how the concepts would work, I took it right to the VA here in San Diego.
Ah.
I went to the spinal cord injury group, and the lady there says, yeah, let's use this. So I went in there and I sat down, and I was with a Vietnam veteran who lost his legs. I was with a young 20-year-old Navy young man who had fell down a flight of stairs in the ship and lost all the use and all four limbs. And he was in a wheelchair. He had the movement of his arms, but not the gripping power of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up playing this game. Instead of going vertical, we played the games laying flat. So it had the ability to go vertical. But with the person that we were using it for, we were able to adjust it to play the way they were able to play.
Hmm.
So if it was a stroke victim or whoever it is, we were able to show them how to play the game, and they were able to move the pieces into position. I got a quick story to tell you about that.
I'd love that. Yeah. So wait a sec. Let me, before you get into the story,
sure.
did this change their ability to cognitively handle detail whilst you were playing with them? Were they developing?
Evolving? That's what it is.
Okay.
Yes. This is what it is.
So I'd love some stories. Yeah.
We don't have brain scan data.
Okay.
We have observational data every time we use it. So that's the big clue. Okay. You can take someone that's catatonic in a state of, you know, just not understanding what's going on and not wanting to, because they may have had a very serious thing happen to them, and they walk into the room. They're like, you know, well, I'm here, but I really am not interested. And everybody else is there. So you engage that person, and within 10 minutes, you see that they're engaged with the group.
Wow.
That is the observational data we have.
Wow.
And the key to that is people want to be right. Now, how do we define right? Well, they just want to know that they fit in with a group of people. Right.
Right. That's
so we all
sure.
want to fit in. We all want to fit in. I may not fit in with a Democrat, or a Democrat may not fit in with a Republican. But guess what? We all want to fit in with somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just using that example. But the key is that I've found is the human spirit is alive and well, even when you're sick, mm-hmm. or even when you're in a deep place, a dark place. And that spirit wants to reach out and get the best of life.
Mm-hmm. Or okay. participate or be a contributor at some
That's
level.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Exactly.
Hmm.
So here's the story I want to tell you. So about 3 or 4 years ago, my daughter's in psychology. She went to UC Irvine in the psychology department. She went on a field trip with me to a local facility that has cabins, or when I say cabins, they're cottages for mentally challenged folks in the community. So there's about 7 of them. They house about, you know, 10 to 12 people. And this particular place that I went to this one where it had six of the women sat down with us one day to have a game day, and we used new bricks for them. We sat down at the table, and it was a round table. My daughter had my iPhone, and she was doing a little videoing. And so as I started to play the game, we only utilized the structure. In other words, we didn't ask them to connect. We didn't ask them to connect with color. We didn't ask them to add anything up. We just said, let's build this structure. And so I began to show them how to do it. And I showed them the picture. So all these mentally challenged women between the ages of 21 and 40, we were sitting and they were building this structure. But one of the girls, she had cerebral palsy. She was only sitting there, you know, with her hands in her chest, watching. So the girl next to her, she was always taking her piece and putting it on for her. Okay. So about halfway through the game, as she saw the game coming off the table vertically, how we were building the structure, she must have been intrigued, because it came around to her turn, and she put her hand next to the girl that was next to her, and as in a motion to stop. So she moved her hand off of her chest and had the girl stop, because she knew she was going to grab her piece. After she did that, she put both of her hands down on the table and proceeded to get erect off of her chair.
Uh-huh.
She took her piece off of her stand, and she placed it onto the game exactly where it had to go, with no hesitation, no better than you and I could.
Hmm.
Okay. And she sat right back down, and her hands immediately went back up into her chest.
Interesting.
And we were my daughter and I were in awe. You know, we're like, whoa, what just happened here? Okay. That was immediately that I knew that the human spirit was working, because she saw all the people around her working something together, and she wanted to show that she could do it. Hmm. And she did it.
And when they built the structure, did they each do one, like each one did one and then went around
one
the
at
circle?
A time.
And so yep, she was right into that as well. Well, that's a wonderful story.
Yeah. And she followed her term. She did everything. And you got to remember, all these girls were mentally challenged, but they still performed. And if I showed you what the game looked like in the card, and you know, in the instruction card versus what was on the table, it was perfect.
Hmm.
So of course I facilitated, but the point was, they were following the concepts and they were doing it.
Wow.
It was very interesting.
Hmm.
So that this type of anecdote, this type of a story is powerful, and it's only 5 to 10 seconds long, but you can understand if you really understand that part of it, you'll see where it is very powerful.
Oh, it's very powerful. But Ron, also, did you mention earlier in our discussions that it had an impact also on people with PTSD, like veterans? Do you have any stories about that?
Yes, basically. Okay, so as we're growing over the last, you know, I call it the research period, because as I was developing the game, I was going to different venues. And part of the venues, of course, was I went to the VA. We did that. We went to the mentally challenged. You know, I went to brain injury hospitals, rehab hospitals. And so I currently work. I've been working for the last 7 years also with a group called American Combat Veterans of War, started by Bill Ryder. These are Marines, veterans from Vietnam. And several of them are highly decorated men, and not only in medals, but in the things that they saw in war and are bringing back to help the men that are just coming off of the battlefield.
Hmm.
I give kudos and honor to what these guys are doing. So I joined this group, and basically what we do is we go in and we try to give a place. We call them safe warrior meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows these young men and women to just come in and know that the things that are going on in their heart and their mind, they can talk about it. So what I would do is I go to the San Diego County Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
The ACVAL people run a program there called it's a warrior program called Forward Pathways. And the sheriff has said, okay, ACVAL, you guys are the real deal. I want you to come in and you talk to these young veterans that we've set aside out of the prison system. They made specific veteran modules. So they have like anywhere from 60 to 100 guys within these two modules. And so we go in and we mentor them. But my part of the program is helping them understanding stress relief and seeing what's going on in their mind and their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about a lot of things. And so one of the things I've tried to explain to them as, now you got to see this. So if you've played the game correctly.
Yeah, I hope I've played it correctly. I enjoy it.
And so you played with one, two, or three, or four people.
Yep.
Okay.
I have.
Mm-hmm. Imagine 30 to 40 inmates sitting down at table, four men to a table, and they're all playing this game.
Wow, that's quite lively. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so you have some that are engaging, some that are not engaging. So you have all different personalities,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay. Because what ends up happening is you start to see, once the men start playing this, they get intrigued. Sure, it's a new game. but they're also, my whole thing is to help them understand, the more you focus on a specific task and alleviate all the other thought patterns that are coming into your mind, you will be able to find a place of mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And when you find that place of just doing something right in front of you, it will calm the mind and it'll start to work on the amygdala, which is trying to steal away typically with fear and the fear of incarceration, the fear of people thinking I'm never going to be a good person, the fears of, you know, will my family forgive me? You know, whatever goes on in a man's mind when he's in that state, he's always in that. So I've helped the guys understand, by playing this game, the more focused they become, all of these thought patterns will drop away. Now, it may only be in the hour that they play, but that is healing. That mm-hmm. is allowing the brain to just relax, allows the amygdala to stop producing the cortisol, and it allows their thinking to come into play.
Do you think the amygdala is where we store PTSD, for example, the patterns of PTSD?
No, I think the amygdala is just the, is the power plant. In other words, I think we have thought patterns that even as children, and one of the things I explained to them is, you know, you are formed by the time you get out of the womb and at 7 years, you know, you're formed in everything because you can be highly heightened to the different things that go on in your life. How do I know these things? It's just, again, you talk to people and you find out, well, how did you live? How were you raised? Were you raised on the street? Do you have street smarts? Or were you raised in a family that you were so pampered, nothing ever touched you, and you don't even know what life is about, right? Mm-hmm. So you take it from those parameters and you say, okay, people learn within those years, and then they start to live their life and make decisions off of that, right? Mm-hmm. So part of my hope is that when these guys understand that today's a new day, you break forward, today is a new day, you wake up, you look to the positive in your life. You leave the negative behind. You learn from your negative, but you bring yourself in a positive force to today. So as I do that, they're understanding that the less they have on their mind of yesterday, it allows them to grow more on today's adventure, if I could say it that way.
So it eases them, you say, like in the long haul? Does it ease them out of a kind of a PTSD response to life?
Well, it allows them to train themselves to focus and concentrate. So the game is based on focus, mm-hmm. building your concentration level to where anything around you, it doesn't affect you. I'll give you another example. I have a young veteran on the street, homeless. I met him at an ACVAL meeting. I said, hey, how about if I catch up with you down in San Diego and I'll take you to breakfast? So I took him to breakfast. And so we're sitting outside on a busy street in San Diego in the morning, cars running by, people running by, and we're at a restaurant. So what do you hear in the background? You hear dishes clashing, you hear all kinds of stuff, right?
All right.
So I started to talk to the young man. I said, look, let's play the game. I'll see how you like it. So as he was playing the game and I was helping him understand how to play, he started to play the game. And I interacted with him in playing, right? Mm-hmm. He told me, so about halfway through the game, I said, so what do you think? He goes, this is really good. I'm so focused on what I'm doing. I don't even know what's going on around me, you know? And so I said, well, you didn't see those girls walk by? He goes, no, I didn't. He goes, where do they go? I said, well, they're gone now. You know, they were watching him play the game, but he didn't even realize it, right? So,
So
the point I'm trying to make is the more we help these guys understand that singular task and focusing on that brings you to a place of mindful position right there. So every other thought pattern that tries to come in will shed away. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what this young man said. He said, I didn't even realize all this other stuff was going on by the time I finished.
Wow. Wow.
And so, and here's the kicker. So I told him, I said, you know what? And here's the other thing he said. He says, and you know what? All the medication that I'm getting from the VA, I don't even think I need it.
Wow. Now that's exciting.
Well, that's super exciting to me and you, but the people that run the VA, that's not so exciting because we know the pharmaceutical companies don't want to hear that.
Right.
Okay. But you talk to any of the therapists in there and they want to hear that.
But you know what's interesting is playing that game. I'll just throw this in thinking about your fellow on the street. As I mm-hmm. was playing it, and I played it probably 10 times or with a few different people, and I noticed mm-hmm. that there's a feelingness that helps. You know, like your intuition, not just intuition, but your actual feeling comes in to help mm-hmm. this game work. So there was like a whole feeling when we were playing it that I could not put my finger on, right? Does that make sense?
Now,
wouldn't that be healing?
Yes, it does. Well, exactly. And part of, listen, hear what I'm saying. When you're with people, there is a spirit, a community. So when you're doing something together, it's pulling stronger on your inner man.
Well, that's true, isn't it? So the real you has the opportunity to come in, be part of the mix, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. So how, you know, I mean, this is a game for crying out loud, you know?
I know, but it's more than a game, Ron. It's more than a game.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, people ask me, what's the difference of this game with another game? I said, like, oh, well, like with cards or Monopoly or something like that. I'll tell you what it is. Those games want you to think farther ahead so you're forgetting that you're here. So as you try to strategize farther ahead, what are you doing? You're making your brain work many different areas, so you're really not helping.
Get away from the trauma. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you're just engaging more and more and more. Sure, if you're that type of person that likes that kind of thing, you're going to go for that. But it's not doing your brain calmness. And, you know, let me just say this. If I know a lot of people that are into martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My wife was into it, still is, and my granddaughter is getting to it. And I have an uncle that's a seventh dan in jiu-jitsu. All these people, they go from the basic to the mastery, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that they can't get away from is when they're trained to do something, that becomes a motor skill, right?
Right.
Because their brain and a body coordination have trained and trained and trained.
And your body doesn't forget that.
And it doesn't forget. Now, listen. That's the same thing with the trauma, right? That's the same thing with being on the battlefield and the guy next to you takes a round. Not a good thing.
Mm-mm.
Very traumatic, especially if you know that guy that early in the morning, you had a great conversation about something and now he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
PTSD is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And some people want to marginalize it, but these are the things that make up a person. And you have to help them deal with it, okay? And it's just one of those things. Now, but so you take that warrior, mentality, and what do they train these men to do? They have to offset that warrior mentality, that every move is meant to hurt, maim, or kill. You've got to bring them back into reality of peace. So that warrior has to understand that he can live in peace. So what do? They train him to be a builder. They train him to be, let's say, a scribe, something that makes them come down to a specific action. It's not a flamboyant action. These are just tedious things that they can train their mind to alleviate from being the warrior. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just want to drop back for a sec. Like this, how did you mm-hmm. discover that this would have such a huge impact on people? Just by exploring or by feeling it yourself?
Yeah. Well, a few things. You know, when you're designing something and building something like this, you're asking the universe to help you build it, first of all. At least I do. You know, and I believe in a universal God. And so I would say, Lord, thank you for giving me a mind to think of these types of things. Thank you. And doing that, I started to move. Okay. And so as I moved in this direction and this, he revealed more, or the revelation kept coming on how to do it. Now, it didn't come all in one day, but as I would think on it, it would show me a different way to improve. Okay.
Wow.
So this is how that happened. That was how that happened.
So it's very spiritual, very intuitive kind of way to serve is what you've developed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So I've been a pretty spiritual guy. I know when I'm wrong.
Well, good for you. A lot of us don't know that.
Well, when I say that, I know when I'm doing wrong.
Right.
And I know when I'm doing right.
Right.
Okay.
Good for you.
Yeah. And I place those things. In how do I say this? I place them in a place where I move forward. I never want to move backward, okay? Because those things are like chains. They want to drive you back, but you have to alleviate those chains, and you've got to move forward. You know, I base this game off of one thing, and that is knowing people need to be engaged and connected. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that is to give them that forum, because now you've empowered each person to be part of something. When you empower somebody to be part of something, that is what makes them move forward.
You know something? I saw a little post on Facebook the other day, which was talking about addiction. And basically, mm-hmm. it said the very same thing that you're saying. It's like that helping people to get connected is one of the great ways to offset or solve the addiction problems. And I'm like, wow, we should push this game
yeah.
in some of these groups, eh?
Hey, you know, that's, you know, my website, www.newbricksgames.com.
And Newbricks is N-U-B-R-I-X. Okay, I want people to know that.
Thank you. That's right. So when you go to the website, you're going to see that we touch on several different neuro disorders, anywhere from stress, ADHD, PTSD, Alzheimer's, autism. All these things have several things in common. People are going to say, well, what do they have in common? Well, I'm going to tell you what they have in common is the human spirit. That human spirit wants to connect. Okay. It's trying to figure out ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this game is meant to bring people together and say, look, let's build this thing together. Let's build the game card that comes with the game. Let's do that together. Or, hey, Jim, you got a different way to play. Yeah, I was thinking about this game this week. Let's play my game. And everybody says, cool. So Jim brings his mind and creativity in, and everybody works with it. So you see what's going on?
Yeah, it's not about a winner. It's about a creator. It's about creating.
That's right.
And also one
and
thing I want to throw this in. I found with a friend and I, we found ourselves mm-hmm. automatically collaborating several times. And we looked at each other and went, wow, yeah, that's a nice change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
that she and I are combative ever. We were just playing the game, you know. But
it was a natural flow of
collaboration. Yeah,
that's right. Hey, look, what's a better way to get people together to play a game?
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's really wonderful.
You know, now, so on a basic level, let's just say you have someone with a brain injury, who's been in a car accident, and they need to get their life gone on the right track again. This game comes into play, just helping them look at structures and diagrams and make them correct, you know, give them the concept of connection, show them how they connect, and then they connect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving them basic concepts to deal with, adding simple numbers. 2 + 3 = 5. 1 + 2 = 3. Oh, color? Yeah, we want to bring color in because the brain reacts to color. So the brain reacts to these things: shape, color, and cognizance, which is mathematics or something to that nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the brain's functioning in those levels, you're able to see what the brain is able to do, right?
Right.
So here I am, a family member, mm-hmm. I'm a friend, I'm a therapist. I've got something that I'm using to see how that person is doing. Can they see the shapes? Can they see the color? Are they adding 2 + 2, or are they adding 2 + 1? What are they doing? What's going on there? I'm able to assess, are they getting these ideas? So I have a session today, they're doing okay. I have a session tomorrow, oh, they got this a little down better. So all of a sudden, I'm empowered as a mother, as a family member, a friend, or a therapist. I'm able to assess how they're doing in their in figuring this thing out. And then we just take them to different levels. We go from laying them flat, 2-dimension, to go to 3-dimension, to go to more complex. Suddenly, you've really got their brain moving. And that's what we all want.
I love that.
You want to know the crazy thing about it is?
Yes.
Listen to this. Let's get back to our PTS folks.
Mm-hmm.
Mom or dad comes home from theater, not doing too well mentally. A lot of stressful things happened. So the family's needing to come together. So mom or dad pull out the game, and they all sit down and they have an hour's worth of family time tonight, maybe tomorrow night, maybe the following night. But the kids, they're saying, yeah, let's do something with mom and dad. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now you have dad, mom, kids. Every one of them are in a PTS moan, situation in their own mind. Do the kids trust mom and daddy because of all the stress? Does mom trust dad? Does dad trust mom? All these things are igniting in that family. We've got to figure out a way to bring that family to the table to sit together and just relax. New Bricks allows that to happen in different levels. But here's the cool thing. If a single person is getting the idea when you're in a group of several people, let's say 6 people in a mental facility,
mm-hmm.
now you put in a family environment, guess what's going on? The PTS sufferer, he's getting it. He's getting the modality. He's reducing his stress. He's bringing that cortisol level down. But guess what's happening to mom? She's getting the same thing.
So they're feeling children, nurtured.
They're getting it. No, they're reaping the benefit of the game just like everyone else.
Hmm.
Just like that person that needs it,
mm-hmm.
the person that is playing it with them, they will receive it
mm-hmm.
because they're getting the same focus, mindful play. And that's what brings it right down to everybody receiving the same healing.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, I think that I already said this, but I'll repeat it. I believe it's important. It's non-competitive. Everyone gets to put in his or her own self-feeling.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I really like that. That's, to me, is head and
well,
shoulders.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, I'm a competitive guy, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get competitive, but you really have to know how the game is played. That's why I'm saying you can go from being an apprentice or a basic to getting into mastery, and then that's a different level, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you can move it in that direction. This is what I'm trying to explain. This isn't like playing gin. This isn't like playing, you know, 5-card stud, okay?
Yeah.
This isn't like playing Yahtzee or something, okay? Mm-hmm. This actually has specific scanning reduction. In other words, multitasking is out the door. Single tasking is all. It's this is what this game is about.
Hmm.
And when you single task the brain will heal. You multitask it, you're asking it to go into different regions of the brain. You're asking it to grab these thoughts and patterns. The next thing you know, you're on a train to somewhere else because that thought pattern originated in that part of the brain, whether it's a noise, a vision, a smell, or a hearing something. So it's meant to make the brain focus on one type of thing.
So what happened with your brother? Were you able to reach his cognitive improvements or?
Well, no, because the game came many years later. Mm. You remember in the beginning, I said my brother had some very hard, dark places.
Yes.
Okay. Well, my brother actually passed away in 15 years after his and you know, this is something for a different show, but this just tells you why I'm so pushing for this game to be a part of a repertoire. I tell you why. When you don't have family members that know how to help, mm-hmm. you leave them no, you can't empower them. This is what this game is meant to empower family to be part of that healing process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, during the mid 80s, until my brother passed away, my brother was shuttled to probably 20 different facilities.
Oh my.
The first 8 years, that particular company that had my brother, they sucked up $1 million worth of insurance.
Oh my.
Then when it was all gone, my brother was left to go to a state facility, which has no budget. The mm-hmm. budgets are really small. They're always on a shoestring, right?
Right.
So my brother gets sent to the worst insane asylum in the United States,
Virginia. Oh my gosh.
And they actually shut it down in 92 after he left.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. He was there for 6 months in hell, walking down corridors that were built in the Civil War.
Hmm.
Okay. And the reason he was there is because my mother was shifting and trying to figure out where he was able to go that was better than that. But that's where they sent everyone when a person becomes a ward of the state, because my mother lived in West Virginia at the time. So when I found out and my brother and I went, I said, of course I went into mode of, we got to figure out a place for him to be.
Right.
So we found him places closer to home, and we were able to bring him out and go to these other places. So what am I bringing these things up for? It's just because the days prior to today were very limiting on what they did. So the pharmaceutical regimen for patients was the thing, right?
Right.
You know, you ever seen Robin Williams, his movie? I can't remember his movie. He was like a doctor. He went up into West Virginia and he was with kids that were dying.
Yeah. Patch Adams, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he brought in laughter and joy as a healing element.
That was a brilliant show. Brilliant story.
Yes. And so this is what it is. You know, we've got to be able to do better for this community.
Well, you're saying elicit the human spirit to come through instead of all this other stuff, right? Instead of numbing it.
Exactly. You know, the human spirit's what heals the body.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
You start thinking and talking today, that is much more prevalent in our thinking than it was back even 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. What about, I'd like you to talk about people with Alzheimer's. That's such an intriguing subject. Intriguing mm-hmm. is a very soft word compared to how I feel about it. But the Alzheimer's mm-hmm. is pretty scary. Do you know any results that happened with that?
Well, first of all, my father has dementia.
Okay.
My father started getting first stage dementia about 4 years ago. And so that became really part of the program that I was trying to work in. And so bringing that person into contact with either family or friends to bring them into something that allows them to be humanly connected. Because a lot of times, you know, they're trying to remember or see or do. And a lot of times what they're doing is they're using past memories to work their life today. Right.
Right.
Okay. So you want to bring them into the present, right? You want them to be mindful of what they're doing now. Right.
Right.
But you don't want to inundate them with all these thought patterns. Because again, when we start bringing in those different things, we're kind of like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go here. You see what I mean? It's so busy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't slow it down. You've got to be. And that's why this mindful mindset is a good thing, because we need to back connect to what we think, not what the world is screaming at us to do, but where are we that we can, okay, I'm going to get on the starting block. I'm going to take my first step, second step. Now I'm going to start running. I'm not going to be afraid to step up to that starting block and start running, you see, with everything coming at me first. I want to be able to start my day the way I want, and then I can be my best for everybody else.
Right.
But when I can't sleep at night because I'm thinking of all these other thought patterns, worries, and stresses, there's got to be a way to deal with that.
Right.
And this game is just one way of allowing people to come together and have fun for a while.
And does it help your dad?
Oh, yeah. My brother plays with him all the time.
Hmm.
So one thing I noticed was, now this is interesting. Now help me. And I'm not saying families don't try to connect, but here's what I found out. I went back for a week in December. My brother's the caretaker for my dad right now, full time.
Mm.
So he said, "Hey, look, I need a month and a half break. You know, my wife and I are going to go out. You know, I need you guys to step up and come in. For somebody come in at least a week." So we broke up the month and a half into all the family members coming in, and I overlapped my sister and, you know, that kind of thing. So I was there for a week with my dad, 91, and it was great. The first couple days I was very, very intrepid because he started wanting my sister who just left, and he kept saying, "I want to go with her. I want to go where she is." And I just looked at him. I stopped at a stoplight and I looked at my dad. He was getting a little frustrated. And I go, "Dad, I love you. I want you to be with me now. Can you do that?" And he kind of just looked at me because I gave him eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yeah. And it was like, it didn't make him like become totally passive, but I saw him understand that.
Aww.
So it wasn't like I was just taking him and we were just going to do stuff and I wasn't going to connect with him. So what ended up happening was this. The next day we got up and I gave him a routine. His routine was coffee, breakfast, getting ready. I took him out to McDonald's. He loved to go to McDonald's. And we'd sit down for a couple hours at McDonald's, just drinking a coffee and talking about his life.
Aww.
I found out more about my father in that week than I did my whole 55 years of living with the man. And this is the beauty of our technology. I was able to take my iPhone and I was able to look up through Google and through different things where he lived, what school, the people that were alive and he remembered. Radio people, different things. I would call him up. I would put a radio person on that they had an archive thing on, and I would let him hear it. He goes, "Hey, that's so-and-so."
Aww.
You know? Do you understand what I mean? I interacted with him, and I didn't want to leave because he told me about when he went to Casablanca during World War II, and then he went up to what I was able to get out of him those that week, I was so blessed.
Wow. How often did you play the game? Did you play the game a lot?
Yeah. And that's the thing. When you engage them, you see them working it. That is the key, just to have them working it, because that says, hey, look, I'm doing this. I'm actually doing this. This is cool. And then you do it three dimension, then they have to get their eye-hand coordination, say. And then that makes it even more of a challenge for them. And then that's, you know, so you're seeing the movement using the game, the concepts of the game, and what the game makes you do. So the game is inherently has spatial orientation in it, right? Because you mm-hmm. got to build a structure out in front of you. So that's the thing about it. Because it's a hands-on game, you've got to you feel it, you see, you're sensing everything around you, and then you zone in, and you zone in on what you're doing with the game, and then all of a sudden it brings everybody in, and you're just doing that one structure. And that's the thing, everybody's doing their own move, mm-hmm. but you're really building it together.
No, it's marvelous. Yeah, and it's fun, but it's challenge is really a personal expression, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah, it is.
So have you got any other stories? I love the story about your dad, because having somebody who's facing dementia be able to express a lot about his own journey, I mean, that is a real gift, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Anytime someone gives you a story of their life is a gift. Mm-hmm. And I'd even say that with someone that has post-traumatic stress from war or post-traumatic stress from just civilian life. Something may have happened, young woman or a young man or something, whatever. Whenever they give you a gift of a story that happened to them, you cherish that. And that will make them bond to you because you are there with them in that moment. So,
where do you see all this going, like, Ron? Do you get to take it into, other institutions? Where is it all going?
Well, I'm one guy. I don't have a marketing degree, but give me a marketer and I'll, you know, share everything I got with them. But the point is, everywhere I have gone and presented this game, it has been accepted and desired. In other words, I'll give you can I tell you one more quick story?
Yeah, I was going to say,
a lot of time here.
No, I love that. But also I was just going to say, and that's true for me and my friends as well, preparing for this interview.
So what we ended up doing was I had my daughter from, she lives up near Berkeley, California. And she needed me to drive her car home because she visited and she had to go off to another family function. And then I had drove her car up to through San Jose. And as I'm going up there, I made a call and I said, you know, this particular place up there was a services for brain injury care. It's a group up there that does inpatient care. Outpatient care. They come in the morning, they leave in the afternoon. It's kind of a, so I asked them, I said, would you mind if I came in and show you what, Newbricks does? And they said, yeah, we'd love to see it. So I brought it in and I was getting ready to sit down with her and I only had two games on me. And I sat in the office, I was getting ready to sit in the office and she says, oh, no, come on out. So as we walked out, she takes me into the day room, and the day room has a table, and that table sits about 15 or 16 people, and it was full.
Oh, wow. Great.
And she brought me right into the fire, right? So she says, well, they're ready for you. I go, oh, okay, great. You know, I wasn't ready for it, but I am ready for it now.
What kind of people were they?
They were brain injured from the ages of 16 to 70 years old.
Wow, okay, that's a pretty good assortment.
They come in every day for mm-hmm. rehab mm-hmm. or for just to be there and to, you know, give the families a break.
Wow.
Because caregiving can be a tough business.
Oh, for sure.
And so they're in there. And so when I brought the game in, I sat one at one end of the table and the other at the other end. So there was about 10 of the patients, but there was also, you know, half a dozen faculty or staff. And so I explained to them how the game is played very quickly. I said, just take this card, take this card. This is how you connect. This is how the colors, this is just adding the numbers. Just let them build what they see on this card. Mm-hmm. So that's what they did. So they're all playing. You can see the staff facilitating each game going on. And I was there just monitoring. And I had staff coming out of the back offices, standing, watching everybody playing these games. And I had to, you know, I had the PT, the physical therapist come out. I had different people coming out asking me about the game. I said, well, this is meant to, you know, help them to focus, help them to learn to, you know, put structures together, learn basic things, see if they can recognize shapes and colors and numbers, that kind of thing. And then I had one of the staff that was leading the whole thing. She raised her hand and I looked at her and she pointed to the game, and the game wasn't being played exactly the right way. And I said, and I looked at her, I said, I just waved like, no, it's okay. Because I wanted them to understand that they want the patient to build what they see and how, and just let them go with it.
And let them go.
Because today they're going to do it that way. Tomorrow they're going to do it a different way. Let them show you what's going on upstairs. So that way, you know, you're assessing where they're at. Okay. And they're like, oh, they give me the, that's cool kind of sign, and just let them go. And I called them about, believe it or not, I called them about 9 months later. They bought two of the games with me, and they went from an hour play. They missed their lunch because they played through some of their lunch.
So That's a good sign. Well. That's
they
a good sign.
Buying the games right there. So that was fun. But I called them 9 months later and I said, so how's the game going? I said, we use it all the time, all the time.
And it's helping people a lot.
So,
huh?
And it's helping a lot. And you're talking a 16-year-old that's been in a car accident to a 70-year-old that just has maybe cognitive issues. Mm-hmm. He's facilitating the game for the youngers or the other people involved. And this particular 70-year-old guy, they said when he came in, he just sat in a chair. He didn't want to engage at all. But when they all came out of their offices, they saw this guy in there, and he was actually in facilitating his game.
Wow. Well, we have to draw to a close, as much as I hate to let you go.
Yeah.
Will you come back on, Ron?
Oh, if you want me, I will definitely be there. This is what I kind of live for now. I'm very thankful for the opportunity, Veronica. Thank you so much.
And I'm very thankful to tell people how to find you as well, please.
I'm on, find me on my website. That'll give you mainly the most information. It's newbricksgames.com. NUBRIX, newbricksgames, GAMES.com. And if you get to the website and you have some questions, I have a phone number on there. You can give me a call. I'd be glad to answer any questions you have and get you started.
Wow. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for tuning in to Paradigm Shifters. And you can hear this on the podcast on my site, veronicaentwistle.com, and maybe on newbricksgamers.com, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. I'll definitely put in the old section there, I'll put a link, and we'll link it there.
Thank you for your time, Ron, and thank you for your heart. Boy, you really put some heart-changing and heart-opening material into the world. Good for you.
Oh, well, it's been a pleasure just talking to you. And again, keep up the good work, Veronica. People need to hear the good news, right?
Yeah, they sure do.
Help them understand that.
Thank
okay.
you. Bless your heart.
Have a great day. Enjoy, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.